From the Madison Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, sunny this afternoon, high of 86, clear skies tonight down to 60. On Tuesday, partly sunny, gradually becoming sunny, high of 88. Wednesday, cooler, 84. And on Thursday, partly sunny, clear down to 78. Then we heat back up later in the week. And by next weekend, back to around 90 degrees. 79 now, KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. A little bit different program today. We're talking to nationally syndicated talk show host Jim Bohannon. You hear him weeknights 7 to 10 right here. In fact, that program has occupied our evening slot ever since we went all news talk about 12 years ago, and we've talked to Jim a number of times, but it's been a while. Jim, thanks for being on with us.
Hey, it has been a while, and thank you very much, Kyle. Great to be with you.
So how many years have you been on the radio?
Well, this past February marked 60. That's 60.
Wow. So do you think you might make a career of it, or are you still looking?
No, I think it's just a passing fad, a few yucks and a few bucks. You know, I got to find something I can do with my life.
So what led to you first getting on the air?
I had a very noble goal. I wanted to meet girls, and I was sort of the class geek, the nerd of Lebanon, Missouri. And I thought that if I could be on the local radio station in Lebanon, KLWT, which we called Keep Listening, We're Trying, that possibly I might increase my stud quotient. And actually, over the years, it worked out because I wound up re-meeting my wife. So it worked in the long run.
Yeah, tell me about that. I was just reading about that this morning.
Yeah, I knew this girl in high school. Her name was Annabelle Arnold, and her father was a local state trooper, and you didn't mess with the Trooper Arnold. But she was just a lovely woman. She was the junior miss of Lebanon, this sort of thing. She knew me, and since Arnold, Bohannon, a similar name, so some classroom sat us alphabetically so we might sit next to each other. Plus, she accompanied me on my trombone solos. That she was quite a keyboardist. That was the end of it. She was dating football captain. She had no use for the likes of me. Well, years later, we actually re-met in Columbia, Missouri. One of my affiliates was having a 70th anniversary celebration, and I was invited to be a part of that, and she was working in that town at that time, and a friend of hers wanted to meet me, and it was a nasty, drizzly night in Columbia, Missouri, freezing rain. And Annabelle said, "I've met him. It's no big deal." And the friend said, "Get in the car. We're going." So they showed up, and then we re-met 33 years after we had last seen each other in high school. And one thing led to another, and now we're celebrating this month our 22nd wedding anniversary.
Had she followed your career? I mean, was she aware of what you were doing?
She was vaguely aware. She certainly had not followed my career, but she was vaguely aware, yeah. And so she knew, and plus her friend was kind of a listener who enjoyed listening to me and the like. And the friend knew that Annabelle and I had gone to high school together. So, yeah, she sort of followed it.
Wow. So after all these years, what is it about the news, about politics, that you still enjoy talking about?
You know, I think the main thing, Kyle, is just simply that it's a lot like playing shortstop. You never know if the next batter is going to hit a line drive, a high hopper, a slow roller, a pop-up, or strike out. Nothing is the same. I mean, there are a lot of jobs out there that are pretty routine, tightening bolt number 47 on a Ford fender, which is honest, noble work, but it's pretty much the same thing day in and day out. With this kind of a show, as you well know, it's never the same. From show to show, from caller to caller, it's always different.
I know that it's possible in many cases that tightening that bolt may pay better than radio as well.
That can often be the case. That's true. Radio is one of those strange lines of work in which you can find people making the minimum wage all the way up to people who make $65 million a year, I think, is the figure generally cited for Rush Limbaugh. So you just never know.
So you've obviously enjoyed doing this. Talk about, kind of walk us through real quick how you progressed from a hometown station to now having had a network show for years.
Yeah, well, after high school, I went to Springfield, Missouri, in Southwest Missouri State College, which is now Missouri State University. Worked at KICK, the Sporty 1340, a big rock and roll station. Got to meet the Beatles and the Dave Clark Five, taking busloads of fans up to Kansas City. And then I got into news at the station KWTO in Springfield and enjoyed that very much. About that time, college was over, and the U.S. government called and suggested that I should take a year-long paid vacation in Southeast Asia. So I did that and was in Vietnam for the Tet Offensive and came back from that. The military transferred me to Washington, D.C., and I got back in radio. For a time there, I was actually working radio and television booth announcing, that is to say, the unseen voice on the weekend. I made more money on the weekend than I made during the week in the Army. I got out of the Army. I stayed and worked there, except for 3 years in Chicago. I've been headquartered in Washington ever since.
And you were, at the beginning of the network time, kind of the weekend guy for Larry King.
Yeah, I first got a chance to fill in for Larry King in 1981. It all happened because of a mechanic who left a wrench inside a rocket at Cape Canaveral. Trust me, this works here. What happened was, I was working in Chicago at WCFL Radio, which was owned by the Mutual Broadcasting System at the time. And Larry King took his brand new nighttime talk show to Chicago, worked in the lobby of the local Hyatt Hotel, and borrowed one of our engineers. And I discovered that during the breaks, the engineer kept telling Larry how wonderful I was, and I thanked him and thought nothing more about it. Well, come November of 1981, Larry had to be off some night to give a speech. Now, the guy who filled in for Larry, a fellow named Jim Slade, was our space correspondent. It just so happened that the night that he needed off, the night before, there was a space launch at Cape Canaveral, and then the next night, Jim Slade was going to go up and back to Washington and fill in for Larry. Well, this mechanic left the wrench in the rocket. The launch was delayed. Jim was stuck at the Cape to cover the launch, and Mutual Radio said, who do we have? What kind of bench strength do we have? And somebody said, what about this guy, Bohannon? That is why we are talking today, Kyle. If I could find that mechanic, I'd buy him a drink.
Wow. So spending all the time of covering news, talking to the newsmakers, taking calls from all over America and beyond, are there ever days, or maybe after a program, where you want to just unplug from the world of news altogether for a bit?
Well, oh, absolutely. Once I get off the air at 10 p.m. Pacific time, I pretty much decompress. The last thing you'll see me doing at that point, unless there's some major happening story, the last thing you'll see me do is being glued to the radio or the TV for news coverage. No, I'm unwinding. I may read a book, watch some TV, this sort of thing. I very much, I'll usually take about an hour, because Eastern time, of course, that's 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., so I'll go to bed shortly after I get off the air.
Now, do you have a particular hobby or something that you do as well?
Well, I enjoy boating, and I play occasionally a game called pickleball, which is a lot like small-scale tennis, and I read, and those things keep me fairly well occupied, yeah.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. When we get back, we'll get some of Jim Bohannon's perspectives about things happening in the nation right now. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1244, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1245, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. On tomorrow's program, State Senator Dallas Hurd will be in studio as the Oregon State Legislature gets ready for a special session to look at the budget impacts of COVID-19. That session begins on Monday. We'll get some of State Senator Hurd's perspectives about some of the current topics from the governor's office and the financial situation the state finds itself in. Well, nationally syndicated talk show host Jim Bohannon with us right now. Normally you hear him weeknights from 7 to 10 right here. Jim, what are your current thoughts about 2020? What has it been like for you during this pandemic?
Well, of course, for a talk show host, never at a loss for anything to talk about, goodness knows. As a citizen and a resident, it's been quite troubling at times. I've had a lengthy life, and I haven't seen a year quite like this since 1968. And I would say the pandemic has made this year probably a little worse in some regard, although, of course, 68 had the two notable assassinations of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr., but it's a double-edged sword type of thing. On the one hand, as a talk show host, never a dull moment. On the other hand, as a citizen, it is a troubling year. And I think that the most I remember my mother, when I was a kid, threatened to slap me into next year. And I wonder if that offer is still good.
That's a good point. For where you live around Washington, D.C., what's happening, what's not happening in terms of everyday life for residents?
Well, certainly there is the social distancing that is required. There is the mask wearing that has become pretty much the norm everywhere if you go out to stores and this kind of thing. It's an artificial existence, to be sure. Obviously, in the center of major urban areas, there's been some street violence that's been quite troubling. So you certainly, even more than usual, have to be aware of where you go and when you go somewhere.
The American political scene, is there anything as polarizing as this past year?
Not really. In terms of just polarized politics, we have gotten more polarized than I've ever seen. And I suspect now you would probably have to go back to the period leading up to the Civil War. In other words, over 150 years you'd have to go back to find a comparable period of time of division. And now you can have divisions on issues that in the past allowed for occasionally heated debate, sometimes friendly debate. And these days, of course, it's name calling and shouting and this sort of thing. There's no middle ground for many folks, and I don't know what will change that. I would like to hope there'll be some kind of a rebound, a civility rebound, if you will, but I haven't seen signs of it yet. So it's not a pleasant time, and that's an unfortunate circumstance. It's just part of the gross national attitude right now.
Do you think it would have been as bad without the pandemic?
Oh, the pandemic has certainly worsened things to a certain extent. It's just made people more irritable, increased the level of cabin fever. It's been a factor in some of the divisions that we face out there. I mean, when the first round of economic stimulus was put forward, you had efforts being made to stick everything but the kitchen sink into some of the stimulus bills, things that had nothing whatsoever to do with the pandemic or the economic crisis, like funding for the Kennedy Center, because Speaker Nancy Pelosi loves the Kennedy Center. So it's contributed, but honestly, had there been no pandemic, we still would have had a terribly divisive time. Just think back to Ukraine, Russia, and impeachment.
The death of George Floyd seems to have sparked something big.
Oh, it certainly did. There's no question about that. It did spark something very big, and that was a terrible thing. And most everybody, of course, has seen the video by now. Although, clearly, given the reaction, something was going to spark this. It was just a matter of what and when and where. The problem, I think, that a lot of people have is that, yes, we all are opposed to police killing people, doing things that that are not part of their duties and subduing people beyond the point of being able to make an arrest. We all agree with that. But the problem is the demagogues who have taken over this whole thing and now suggest, as some have, that it's our way or the highway, that we'll burn and loot and what have you. And peaceful protesters, the demonstrators who have just tried to make a point, have in many cases been shoved aside by thugs and looters and vandals who probably don't even know who George Floyd is. They just want an excuse to snatch and grab.
The presidential race, what are your thoughts on how it's shaping up this summer?
Well, I know a lot of people don't like the polls. The fact is that polls, at least the honest polls, and there are what are called push polls that are designed specifically to aid a candidate, but your standard Gallup and Quinnipiac and Rasmussen and the rest of those polls are pretty accurate. They're a snapshot of the moment. And that is to say, if you have a poll that just came out, that's a snapshot of a period just before August the 6th, not November, or August the 3rd, I should say, not November the 3rd. And so at the moment, it seems pretty clear that Joe Biden would win pretty handily. Now, of course, that leaves a lot of time, September, October, November, 3 months to go here. And again, we haven't had the debates yet. There are many who wonder how well Joe Biden will hold up in the debates. People wonder who it is he will select as his running mate. So things can change. But at the moment, certainly, the Democrats seem to be in the driver's seat.
And you have the aspect as well for a number of states, because of the COVID-19 situation, looking at trying to pull off online or vote by mail for the first time ever. Now, Oregon has had vote by mail for years and has got the system down, but there seems to be, from both sides of the aisle, a lot of concerns about states trying to pull it off at the last minute.
Well, certainly voting by mail is a process that needs to be carefully watched. I think the president has gone overboard in a suggestion that the voting by mail automatically guarantees voter fraud. No, it does not automatically guarantee any such thing. It does make voter fraud in many cases easier, but that doesn't mean that it will occur or that steps can't be taken to minimize that, which clearly they have to be taken. So I would hope that we would watch it. I would hope in particular that a practice known as ballot harvesting can be made illegal, because that just leaves the door wide open for all kinds of possibilities. But it's clearly the wave of the future, and I don't think that it's going to change. What the pandemic did was accelerate the process, but there was already a move, as you note, in places like Oregon, already a move afoot to move in that direction. And I'm just hopeful that we can maintain the most important part of the process, which is the integrity and the perceived integrity of the electoral process.
It seems like both the Biden camp and the president's camp have sort of indicated the potential to question the results of the election.
Well, there's always the possibility for questioning. The president, I think, has pushed that a little harder than he should. Certainly the notion of postponing the election was pretty lame on the part of the president, who is unfortunately noted for blurting first and thinking later. If he had simply said that voting by mail may be more necessary this year, but it must be accompanied by very stringent safeguards to ensure that the process remains open and honest, that would have been the way to put it. But there are probably more concerns because of the fact that voting by mail does open the door to possibilities. But possibilities are not guaranteed outcomes, and in the main, I think most everybody is prepared to accept the outcome for whatever it turns out to be.
Do you wish there was a third candidate, maybe a centrist, running this year?
Well, let's put it this way. If you check the ballot in any given state, every year you're going to have four, five, six names on there. You've certainly got the Democrats, the Republicans. Most every place has got the Libertarians and the Green Party, and you'll find a few of these other minor parties, the Socialist Vegetarians or what have you. And in all, as there is every 4 years, there will probably be a couple of dozen people who filled out the paperwork with the Federal Election Commission. So there are other choices. But the American public has never really gravitated to another party. Sometimes we gravitate to individuals like Ross Perot, like George Wallace, occasionally individuals, will attract a lot of attention. But other parties, minus those individuals, have never really caught on. We are, by habit, a two-party country. But if you want to vote for somebody else, I'll guarantee you that I don't think there's a place in the country where you'll go to the polls in November or get your ballot in the mail, whatever, and find only two names on there. There are other choices. It's just that the other choices aren't going to win.
After decades on the radio, do you ever consider retirement?
Oh, no. I want the last words I speak to be, we'll be right back.
Wow. Any fun plans for the summer at all?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's a place called Jekyll Island in Georgia, just off the coast of Georgia, that my wife and I are thinking about heading to in the not-too-distant future, providing, of course, that the pandemic hasn't ruined that, but I think that we'll be doing that. I've had things that I emcee various things at the National Press Club. I had a June gathering in Washington that was called off, or rather I wound up doing it by Zoom. There's a gathering in New York City in June that was postponed to October and now has been made virtual, and that's been put off. Every year I'm the announcer for the Radio Hall of Fame, and now I'll be doing that via Zoom. So there are a lot of things out there that are happening that we didn't go to this year, but I'm looking forward to doing them in the future. Also, I've been selected for induction. I'm in the National Radio Hall of Fame. I've been selected for induction to the Missouri Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame, but instead of happening this year, that'll now happen next year.
About 30 seconds left. What's ahead for radio?
Oh, for radio, my goodness. Well, November 2nd, the day before the election, is radio's centennial, and I'm sure it'll keep evolving. It'll keep changing. The pandemic's hurt a lot of stations, but we'll still be out there, and you can still tune in to places like News Radio 1240, KQEN, and get all the news and information you need.
Jim Bohannon, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Good fun, Kyle. Let's do it again.
All right, 1258 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.